My daughter's birthday is in late June. Shortly before she was born, however, in early April of that year, when my wife was 6 months pregnant, I sent an email out to family and some close friends. And in this email, I explained to them just how excited we were about the upcoming birth of our child, and we wanted to let them know of a decision that we had made. You see, after touring the hospital's delivery ward, we decided that we did not want our child to be born into such a cold, sterile environment. We preferred that she be born at home. And so to facilitate this, we had secured the services of a midwife, a lovely Jamaican woman named Odette. And not only had we met this woman, but she had already come to our home. She had blessed our home. She had exorcised all the evil spirits and demons and the negative energy so that we were guaranteed a good and safe birth. Now, I sent this email out, and I got some responses. The responses I received fell into three categories. Those in the first group, they were entirely cool with the idea of a midwife. They thought it was rather progressive of us. The second group politely but firmly expressed their opinion that they thought we were making a mistake, that the child should be born properly in a hospital where it was safe. The third group were the ones who said, "You realize Sherrod wrote this, don't you? And did you notice the date? He sent it to you on April 1st. This is his April Fool's prank." And they were right. It was an April Fool's prank, and a pretty good one, too. Now, to be clear, I fully support the idea of midwifery. It is an ancient and honorable practice. But that was not our style, and we fully intended that our child be born in Baptist Hospital, and she was, and everything went smoothly for me. In most births, the parents have some level of control over the situation. The timing, it always presents a challenge. Babies do set their own schedules, but it's usually within a window of a couple of weeks. And we all know to expect this, so parents are still able, for the most part, to plan where they want the child to be born and who they want to be present there. And barring any extraordinary circumstances, it usually works out this way. However, as we see in our reading this morning, for Mary and Joseph, all control over the birth of their child Jesus was stripped away. The Roman Emperor, Caesar Augustus, had issued a decree that everyone in the empire must be registered in a census. And a census is not just a tabulation of the population. A census is a blunt political act rooted in power. For the people of Israel, a census meant that the occupying empire is forcibly registering every resident. The purpose of a census was not limited to determining the population of a region, but also to assess and collect taxes, to conscript additional men for military service. And for this census, each person was required to register in the town of their birth. And for Joseph, this meant traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a distance of about 70 miles. And his betrothed, his fiancée Mary, she had to travel with him from Bethlehem, even though she was pregnant. The empire didn't care if she was pregnant. And while they're in Bethlehem, Mary's child decides that it is ready to be born. As Luke describes it so succinctly, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." Now, so much has been written about that one sentence that we could paint the moon with the ink. First of all, we are told, there was no place for them in the inn. This word inn is really not the best translation here. The word should be something like guest room. It is the same word used to describe the upper room where Jesus celebrates the Passover meal with his disciples. Private homes would have this upper room or a loft that was separate from the family space on the first floor. It was a place where guests could stay. And at the time of the census, you can be sure that the people of Bethlehem were going all Airbnb and renting out sleeping space and squeezing in as many people as possible. To say that there was no room, well, it may have meant that all the spaces in Bethlehem were filled up. Or, as some have suggested, it may have meant that there was no room for privacy where they were staying for the intimate moment of giving birth. The couple, therefore, is forced to relocate to the stable area of the house. And the stable area, it may have been a shed attached to the house, or it may even have been within the house, a separate area cordoned off for the animals. It may even have been a cave. When I was in Bethlehem, our guide pointed out that the area is littered with small caves. The terrain of Bethlehem are these short rolling hills, and as you ride along, you can see in the sides of these hills are caves. And these caves are ideal places to keep animals. All you need is to fence off the mouth of the cave to create a paddock. Now, we'll never know the details that Luke describes, but we do know that Mary gave birth to her first son in a stable. And for a crib, she used the feed trough. The gospel goes on to tell us about the shepherds who were working in the fields outside of Bethlehem, guarding their flocks. It is nighttime, and an angel appears to these shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now, despite our conception of angels being glowy creatures with halos and wings, this is not an image substantiated by Scripture. Angels are simply messengers of God. For example, the angels that came to Abraham, they appeared to be three travelers walking down the road. And we can assume that this angel in Luke looked ordinary as well. However, it was accompanied by the glory of the Lord, which shone all around the shepherds and terrified them. So the angel says to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And this is what I find to be most intriguing about this passage. That word, sign. The angel sending the shepherds into Bethlehem in search of a sign. This will be a sign for you. And this word, sign, it really changes everything. No longer are the circumstances of this birth just a series of unfortunate events, but in it, a divine plan emerges. The question I want to tackle is this: why was Jesus born in a barn? Was it important? And the answer is yes, it was important. Throughout the Old Testament, we read prophecies of a Messiah. For example, in 2 Samuel, God says, "I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." And in Micah, we read, "But you, O Bethlehem, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel." At the time of Mary and Joseph, the people of Israel, they also sought a Savior, a Messiah. They were looking for a warrior king, powerful and strong, a leader that would vanquish all their foes. But God, however, clearly had a different Messiah in mind. A warrior might bring salvation from the Romans, but a warrior would not bring salvation with God. God's salvation does not demand an army. God's salvation demands a change of heart, a change of priorities from power to humility, from strength to love, from force to compassion. God's Savior would not come into the world wielding a sword and slaying armies. No. God comes to us as an infant, which is the very definition of vulnerable. I have no doubt that if Mary had her druthers, she would have wanted to take the birth to take place under different conditions. I'm sure she would have preferred to have been at home in Nazareth with her support system of friends and family to help her through the birth of her first child. Maybe she had an aunt who was a gifted midwife, someone who loved her and would watch out for her. But Mary wasn't in Nazareth. She was in Bethlehem. She was forced there by powers over which she had no control. And in Bethlehem, other than Joseph, there was no one to look out for her, to help her. And when she went into labor, she was forced to give birth among the animals. And when the child was born, was their family there to surround it with love? No. However, some shepherds did stop by, but they were talking crazy about an angel. There's nothing about this birth that even hints at the family having any power or control in the situation. The Holy Family are pawns sent from Nazareth to Bethlehem, from a house to a barn, from family to crazed shepherds, from warm blankets to strips of cloth, from a crib to a manger. But all of this is the sign. The sign of the Savior, the Messiah, our Lord. Why was Jesus born in a barn? It was a sign. A sign that God is not concerned with power as we understand it. That salvation is indeed available to all people. Not just those at the top who are privileged and wealthy, but even to the least of these. We are saved by an infant, not a warrior. And Jesus, for the entirety of his life, would teach that we should love our neighbors, feed the hungry, help the helpless, show compassion for the needy, that there is no one that is too far down that we cannot lift them up. As we stand at the beginning of a new year, I encourage you to commit yourselves in the coming year to be living signs of God's presence. Not signs of power, but signs of vulnerability, of humility, and of grace. Amen.